And then John 15 is talking about joy. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy, this is Jesus, and my joy might remain in you. What does that mean, remain in you? It has to be in you in order to remain. If it's not in you, it can't remain. Where did you get it? It was part of eternal life. It was part of the divine nature. Joy is in you. And he said, I want it to remain there. That means I can thwart, abort joy. Have you ever done that to yourself? If you haven't, you're the only one. What thwarts our joy, causes our joy to depreciate, causes it not to manifest? Sometimes just looking at the doctor's report, the banker's report, your child's report card. I don't know why. I guess because I've passed that now. Mothers see a D or an F, they go bonkers. I mean, they look at that D and they go hysterical. Rather than looking at the answer. Now, what's the answer? Do we need tutoring? Do we need summer school? See, peace, these fruit grow by what you believe. These are fruit. The seed of eternal life is in me. Peace is in me. See, many times we become disturbed by our medical report, our physical dilemma, or our checkbook, or whatever. And we go out to obtain peace like fishing, you know, to throw our line in a pond and reel in some peace. But you're looking in the wrong direction, because peace is here. It's a part of eternal life. Joy is here. Love is here. Meekness is, gentleness is in there. Is that amazing? It's in there. Long suffering. That's the opposite of short suffering. So you know what that is. Everybody knows what short suffering is? This is long. It's already in there. See, and we yield to our flesh, we make excuses rather than nurturing the human spirit, causing it to grow and allowing in every dilemma what I have in me to manifest and control and dominate my life. I look at the circumstances, I let the flesh control. The flesh says, this hurts. I feel. I think. It could be. Rather than looking to the Word of God, and there's stability, there's peace. Peace is stability in the Word of the living God. It's in there. It's already in there. Now, Jesus said, I want my joy to remain. It can't remain if it wasn't there. Is that right? So it is in there. It's part of eternal life. What's the love of God shed abroad in your heart? It's in there. But as I yield to that love and crucify, why does it say crucify the flesh? Because the flesh and the spirit are not in agreement. The flesh will never agree to allow the new creature, divine life, eternal life, to manifest and control. It always has its own idea, its own concept. You notice that? It always says, you can't do that to me. That's not fair! We learn that as children. We begin to cry that as adults. Now with more dignity, with greater composure. But it's the same thing. That's not fair! Now, let's look at Romans 2. Let me show you another one. Oh, this is what God is like, and He's in me, and I am like Him. I have His nature. You see, if I know who I am, I face my dilemma in a different measure, in a different degree of security. I know who I am. I know what I'm like. I know my resources. I'm giving you something to believe. Love is in you. Joy is already in you. It's in there. Now, happiness depends upon the circumstances. I'm happy because I have enough money, because my children are doing well, because Joel just got a nice raise, or Suzanne got a new piece of furniture, or Ashley was chosen for the lead singer, you know, in the school play, and Wayne got a new efficient secretary, or all of those things, the physical circumstances cause us to have joy. And if we look at those circumstances and we don't like them, they cause our joy to depreciate, happiness. But real joy is on the inside. He said, I want my joy to be, look at there. My joy might remain where? What's that word? That little two-letter word? In. Where is it?
In.
It's in. It's on the inside. And your joy might be, how much joy does He want you to have? Be full. Well, how is that going to happen? I have to cooperate with heaven. Now look at Romans 2, verse 4. Talking about Almighty God despises all the riches of His goodness. Was goodness in that list in Galatians 5, 22 and 23? The riches of His goodness. How good is He? He's rich in goodness. And forbearance. Forbearance is restraint. It's very much akin to long-suffering. You see the characteristics of God. We found God is love. God has joy. He's given me joy. God is good. God is long-suffering. And yet we'd say, well, you know how I am. You just know I'm short-tempered. That's what we say. But you lie about yourself. If you yield to the flesh, you may be short-tempered, but if you look to the Spirit, you're long-suffering. It means to hang in there, put up with, and be silent. It means to restrain your words as much as anything else. You know, you're not long-suffering if you have plenty to say and you said it. Don't count that. It's because you didn't take action other than what you said. Don't say you were long-suffering.